Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we hope you're having a great day. There is a lot going on. We've got a lot to talk about. And I'm excited to talk to Jason Longshore because I think everybody kind of wants to know, when did the thing change for Atlanta United?
Right.
Like, at what point did either you stop paying attention,
you,
or the team started playing better, or are things just clicking right now? Because you know, for us to sit here and say, well, yeah, they beat Miami, but I don't think they're going to do anything else. Guys, they could win the MLS Cup, and it would be so unexpected. It would be such a surprise with all this happened. Jason's going to join us a little bit later on this hour as we gear up for the advancement of Atlanta United continuing in MLS playoffs. Also, we will talk more as we start to shift the gears towards Denver. And Sean Payton said he's looking ahead on their schedule, Mike. They've had some clunkers here. They lost a close one last week, just like we did. So going out there is not going to be easy, and we'll also talk plenty about UGA. You said you were talking to a Tech fan or a UGA fan?
No, I was a Tech fan, and I was on social media as Squidbilly. Oh. Bo Morgan was like, you owe me the darn cesspool. All right, in a nutshell, he said that Kirby was the jerk by calling the kid an idiot. And he says, why doesn't he call the guys who got arrested idiots? And I, needless to say, said, well, it's different. It's kind of apples to oranges because, you know, there could be something inaccurate about the arrest. For instance, should Kirby have gone out there and called Kobe Young an idiot?
Mm.
And then we find out 3 months later that none of the things that were alleged to have happened. I said this was cut and dry. This is a kid doing something in plain sight, celebrating like his team won, and it's on video. It's irrefutable, and it's a dumb move. And so it was, and yeah, now granted, Kirby probably walked it back, but I don't think the whole world is such a damn snowflake pile. The kid acted like an idiot. He's apologized. We know, like, Georgia fans shouldn't be killing for the kid and saying he should be cut from the team. But still, to me, it's apples and oranges.
I agree.
And you're a Tech, by the way, you're a Tech fan. You got good things going. Don't be that Tech fan. Just stay in your lane. Stay in your Tech lane. Don't worry about Georgia till you play on Thanksgiving weekend, and just don't be that guy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that part of it. And you know, there's no – you're not ever going to see a coach call a young man who's accused of a crime, all right, or the allegations of physical abuse to a woman or any of that kind of stuff, call him an idiot. You're not going to do that. And I think, Mike, to your point, this is just trying to, you know, get everybody revved up about a situation that, as Kirby said, he's not going to spend a lot of time on this.
He's got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, man. Like, Tennessee is Saturday. You lose that game, we're not talking about the playoffs anymore. Like, that's the energy that needs to be put forth, not about this young man and what he did on Saturday to see his old buddy and do what he did. Either way, I get it. I understand why some people are still upset about it. Some people, Mike, were taking shots. You know this, at Carson Beck for smiling on the bench.
I mean, look, they are human beings. Sometimes you laugh to not cry. And look, Georgia's had an amazing run. Okay, Georgia and Kirby, the way he built this thing and the way it's rolling, it's hard to sustain in the current model with the transfer portal because the guys that would be backing up the guys that either hurt or aren't performing aren't there. They've gone to other schools. That's the reality. So I just think, you know, Georgia fans, the bar has been raised, but it also coincides with, you know, a sea change in college football. moving forward.
You know, what's funny though, Mike, about this whole ordeal with where we are in college football, and the reason why we're on this, guys, is because the rankings come out tonight. We'll see what the College Football Playoff Committee does and how they're thinking about this based on what we saw last week. And you know, we got four more weeks of this until we get to the conference finals and the champions are crowned, and then we'll know what the playoff's going to look like. But the funny thing is about this is for years everybody said these kids should be able to go wherever they want.
Right.
Coaches leave, they should be able to transfer out whenever they feel like. Well, you can now.
You got it.
And it's changed the whole complexity of the sport. So do you still feel like that is the right answer? Or do you feel like, hey, maybe what we had where you made a commitment to stay at a school and, oh, by the way, if you do leave, you got to sit out because there needs to be some kind of punishment or penalty for you to just be able to jump around. That is gone. And everybody wanted it. Everybody said these kids should be able to do it. And it's changed college football. And I don't know if it's for the better yet. We're still too early. But I will tell you this, to your point, the depth issue and the parity is real. That's why you're seeing these games the way they are.
Right. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a couple of Florida State fans the other day, and it was like, we got to go get that Kurt Cignetti, the guy from Indiana. I'm like, have you heard that guy speak? Have you heard this guy? Wow. Man, was he dipped in jerk sauce.
Mm.
I mean, bro, I'm glad you got a good thing going at Indiana. But did you see him on his post game last week? What's our record? You're in that portal too, baby. Talk to Norvell. Live by the sword, die by the sword. You know, you better. I mean, I was like, oof, that's just kind of going from a frying pan to the fire, if you ask me, if you're an FSU fan. We'll get to that later in the college football report, talking about the dogs and everything else. Big rankings come out tonight, by the way, from the committee. Curious to see, does Georgia stay at 11 where they are in the other polls?
After a loss, they're gonna
11 in the coaches, 11 in the AP. Right
yeah,
now.
Listen, that's where I think they should be. And you know what? The committee is gonna play with them as well. And when I say play with them, you put yourself in this predicament, right? You lost to Ole Miss. Bottom line is the committee is gonna say you're on the cusp of being out of this. Show us you deserve to be in. Go handle Tennessee. Oh, by the way, finish strong with Georgia Tech. And we'll see what we think about where you should be ranked. This is what the committee is going to say tonight. This is not an insult to where Georgia is. You're now a two-loss team. You fall into a different category. So this is my thing and has been my entire time talking about this playoff. We're going to be arguing about best one-loss, two-loss teams. The conference champions will get in, and we're going to be discussing. And Georgia may be one of those two-loss teams that we're comparing resumes with. And the thing that they do have going for them is they have played a hell of a schedule. There's no debating that. You know, outside of Florida, Georgia had the toughest schedule in college football. You can't debate that. So if you're going to tell me you've navigated the toughest schedule, went on the road, won one, lost one against two top-ranked teams, okay, you probably deserve to be in as a two-loss team, but there's no margin for error.
Nope. And Tennessee's got their QB. He's good to go. The atmosphere will be electric. But it gets back to, you know, that Ole Miss game. We talked a lot about it yesterday. And just, it doesn't pass the eye test. Georgia does not look like it. But then again, everybody out there, with the exception of Oregon, I guess you could argue, and maybe BYU, has not had that moment. Alabama's looked terrible, right? Ohio State's looked terrible. Everybody's had a moment.
Georgia made Texas look terrible.
Everybody looks terrible. Yeah. Terrible, Carl, terrible.
I mean, agree.
But that's the thing.
Who's the dominant
season's
team?
Not over. The season's not over by any stretch, but as you said, there's no margin for it.
Who's the dominant team, though, Mike? Is there a dominant team right now? Because, listen, what we're telling you is you go back to 2021, there was no doubt in our mind Georgia was better than everybody else. It wasn't even close. And then they proved it. Who is the dominant team in college football? You going to tell me Miami just came in here?
Nope.
They just got beat.
They've been living dangerously all season. You're right.
It's not Miami. You're going to tell me Oregon? I'm going to tell you Oregon at home probably should have lost to Ohio State. But they held on and won. Rematch neutral site. I'm not going to tell you Oregon wins that game.
Right.
That was not a dominant performance. As a matter of fact, they weren't dominant last week against Maryland. Let's just go down the line and start talking about these teams. Texas, again, exposed against Georgia. Now, they've rebounded, but the fact is, like, you can't sit here and tell me, oh, they're better than everybody else.
Well, the thing is, like, for instance, as you mentioned Indiana, the way Georgia played on Saturday, I'm not sure Indiana couldn't beat them. You know, if they had to go to Indiana.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Or a neutral site.
You played like that.
Right. If you cannot get things going. Look, I'm not a big fan of Bobo, but it's not Bobo's fault that they have these injuries. The line of scrimmage, Carl, they're not strong in the trenches on O-line. Defensive line is missing those big dominant inside pieces. It's a good football team. They're all good football teams. Is there a great football team? That's the debate. Maybe Oregon, but you said it. You can make the argument that it's basically everybody's in the same boat.
Yeah. Well, you hold on at home by three. You didn't dominate that game. That was basically a dial score, and you were able to hold on at the end. 404-726-0929. Georgia's not the dominant team right now. And it's not like it was a few years ago. That is reality. That is where we are. It doesn't mean they're not going to be in the college football playoff, but this is a big one. As a matter of fact, the biggest one of the season to date. Mm-hmm. We talked about Alabama. It's the biggest game of the season. Okay. Texas, biggest game of the season. Don't lose Saturday.
Well, the other thing is, but this also gets to the argument, if Georgia does not end up winning a championship under in the 2 years that Carson Beck was under center, this is going to be what some Georgia, and look, this is a Georgia fan argument. This isn't like out from the outside, you know, pointing fingers. Georgia would say, in the world we just described, where there's parity, where you don't have the depth you had, you've got to have a superstar quarterback. Carson Beck is not a superstar quarterback.
No, Mike, he's not. And you're right about this. I mean, this is the part. Look, we want to get into the weeds on.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On this is where Kirby's missed. He's hit on everything else. Great linebackers, great safeties, great corners. Think about the guys he's put in the NFL. This is where he's missed. And when I say that, I'm talking about why is it that Georgia can't go out and say that's the number one quarterback in the country? He's coming here. That's the best dual threat kid in the country? Mm-hmm. He's coming here. What is the issue with that versus we're just going and getting these guys who, Mike, I feel like, you know, to be honest with you, after watching Carson this year, I didn't feel this way last year, which is it's funny how a year changes your thoughts. System guy. He's not a difference maker.
No, I mean, look, if you get back to it, if you want to take it all the way down, DJ Lagway, I mean, if you're a Georgia fan, would you rather have DJ Lagway looking at your future? Now, again, he got injured. We didn't get to see the full sample size. That's a 5-star quarterback. That's why there's 5 stars, and that's why there's 4 stars. Not to, you know, thank you, Captain Obvious. But that's where you get into also missing Todd Monken. Todd Monken is better than Bobo. Now, we can debate what he's done or not done with the Ravens. I think this year it may wind up culminate with an AFC championship, maybe a trip to the Super Bowl. But Todd Monken's a better offensive mind than Bobo is. Anybody want to debate that with me?
What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in this radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on coming up. A very cool thing I want you to go check out. And you can do it online. I'm going to tell you what that is. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We got a lot to chop up, man. Jason Longshore is going to stop by in about 20 minutes. But when we come back, it's time for the Daily Download on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you're a dog fan, you should not be upset or mad. As Mike said, the season's not over. There is a lot of stuff that could still play out. I just got a message from Jerome. Who's a big Alabama fan, and he said, I cannot believe you and Mike are talking about who the dominant team is. It's Alabama! And I said, you're crazy.
Now,
you're crazy.
I will give Jerome a little credit in saying that not many teams can go into Death Valley at night and
totally
dispatch
agree.
The Tigers the way they did, but they did.
You know why they did? Quarterback.
Yeah. They got Jalen Milroe, a superstar quarterback.
That's why.
A superstar quarterback.
Why? Is anybody taking offense to the fact that I said that this is where he's missed? Kirby is great. I wouldn't want anybody else as my coach. I'm being serious right now. There's nobody doing it better. But until he starts to consistently bring in these top-notch quarterbacks, who when you get into seasons like this or games, and every year's not going to be like 21, when you get into these seasons and you go, we got it. Right. He's got it. He can take the game over. He can make the plays. He can make the throws. He's going to make guys around him better. Everybody wants to look at these wide receivers, and I'm with you, Mike. I get it. The wide receivers have been mediocre at best, right? Across the board for Georgia this year. But I will tell you this, too. Sometimes your quarterback makes wide receivers better. Sometimes that happens, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like Kirby is in that early Nick Saban and Tuscaloosa phase of Greg McElroy, A.J. McCarron, which is cool because, again, if you got everybody else is you know, again, you got a gray shirt, people, because you've got every five-star in the country, you can win. And, look, this is not a knock because those guys were rock solid. Aaron Murray should have had a national championship. You know, they could find a way to beat Bama back in 2012 against A.J. McCarron. You know, you had, remember, Jacob Coker left Florida State. They won a championship with Jacob Coker at Alabama. So, and Kirby won one with Stetson Bennett before Georgia fans text in. Bennett was just that moxie and just that balls to the wall, chip on his shoulder, play. Call it what you want. He had it. You know, doesn't matter if it doesn't translate to the next level, but it just seems like in this year, but that was the last, we're talking ancient history, that was 2 years ago. Now we're talking about where the college world has evolved to, where you better have that rock star. And I just don't think that, I've never really felt that way about Carson Beck last year, and I surely don't feel this way this year as he's going backwards. Whatever the reason.
Whatever's going on, who knows. This hour is brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com.
Warren.
I'm confused because on the one hand, you say the moxie, then you say the superstar. Like, Stetson wasn't a superstar. He just had, like, an immense amount of talent around him to where if he wasn't the best at some days, he had guys on that defense that could pick him up. He had guys in the backfield that could pick him up. He had playmakers.
That's what I'm
around.
Saying. We had superstars surrounding him. You can be that guy when you've got that kind of that Greg McElroy and A.J. McCarron had.
See, I don't think you need a superstar to win because if you want to be honest right now, is there a superstar amongst the top 12 teams right now at quarterback? Like a legitimate guy? You go like, that guy's going to be an all-pro in the NFL.
I mean, yes. I don't know what Dylan Gabriel's going to be, but he's certainly doing the job in college.
He's quality, but Dylan Gabriel's also with his sixth year of college football, too.
Well, that's the case for a lot of guys, but I would tell you, yes. Ohio State also has a game manager, okay? I've seen enough of them. Texas Quinn Ewers will be drafted. I get the injury aspect of that, which we've got plenty of time to talk about, but he is considered to be upper echelon. Mm. Shedeur Sanders has Colorado on the verge of winning the Big 12. Superstar. When you talk about Alabama and Jalen Milroe, they are where they are because of him. The BYU situation is interesting, Mike, because they're 9-0, and everybody says, all right, who have they played? But their quarterback's pretty damn good, too. The problem is nobody knows who he is,
right?
So we don't talk about him. But I think, yes, you do have to have that element. And here's the difference as to what you're saying. When Stetson Bennett needed to make plays, he did. That is the fundamental difference between what we're seeing right now and what that was. You're right. He wasn't touted as a five-star superstar, but his confidence level and the fact that everybody doubted him allowed him to have this level that he could go to and make those throws. The Alabama game is a prime example of that.
Well, he gets that forward. We thought it was a forward pass. It's a fumble. They come right back over the top for the big play,
no fear.
And they score. Where this guy's already on the record is saying he struggles with his confidence.
I'm sorry.
You know,
it's true.
I mean, I'm just. And by the way, no, I get what you're saying. You know, you can't replace Brock Bowers. You can't replace Ladd McConkey, and that's on Kirby. You know, you've got the wide receivers have been meh. Now, Ra-Ra Thomas, that was its own unique set of circumstances. But these receivers, they don't catch the ball consistently. They're not as a game changer. The 17-year-old kid at Alabama, whose name will remain nameless, so don't trigger Georgia fans, is better than anybody that Georgia's got in the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
So maybe if I won't make it specific to the quarterback, there's just a level of superstar at the skill positions that's lacking this year at Georgia. And some of that was also early on, the hesitancy to make ETN a bigger part of the game plan, and now he's injured.
Yeah. And by the way, I think in college recruiting where we are right now, I'm not telling you there's discrimination going on as to what kind of quarterback Kirby is going after or what kind of quarterback Georgia wants. Give me the best quarterback that can run the systems that we want to run. But I also think, Mike, that they have allowed themselves to fall into this rut of this prototypical guy that looks this way, that's what we're going to go with. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, Kirby, one thing, Orin, whether he's a superstar or not, Kirby's always going to go with the guy who's got the most time in Athens. It's always the guy with the most experience. You know, Stetson Bennett comes in for JT Daniels when he gets injured in that Clemson game. He never relinquishes the job, and then he holds on to it, even though there's some Georgia fans going, we got to get a better quarterback. We'll never be able to repeat. And then in the case of Beck, you know, look, Vandegrift, I don't know what you make of Vandegrift. He's not done anything special at Kentucky. He's had a byproduct of what he's surrounded with. Gunnar Stockton, we still don't know what he is, but Beck is a guy because he's been there, and Kirby always seems to defer to the guy who's got the most experience.
All right. And why are we talking about this? The rankings come out tonight. Listen, I think Georgia fans right now are on edge, and rightfully so, because you're in a position you haven't been in. We're not used to this, and I get it. We're used to being one, two, at the least three. You're telling me we're what? 11? No, there's got to be something going on here. There's something wrong. No, this is where we're at. We're now a two-loss team, and we're trying to fend off all these other teams like A&M and Clemson, who you beat, and Colorado, all these two-loss teams. And some of these teams might play for their conference championship, but some of them won't. And those are the teams, Mike, that if Georgia doesn't end up playing for the conference championship, and right now in the rankings there are teams in front of them, you're going to be then comparing resumes and saying, all right, at ranking 11, does Georgia deserve to be one of the top 12?
And look, as far as quarterback, does anybody out there think Carson? I mean, we're not talking about what he's going to do in the NFL. Is he that special sauce guy? I mean, to me, Dylan Gabriel, 22 touchdowns in the air. He's got 6 on the ground. I mean, that's 28 touchdowns and 5 picks. That's pretty darn good.
He's great. He's a kid. Yes.
And you talked about your – now, I'm with Orin. I don't necessarily think that Ohio State's quarterback is anything special, but certainly surrounded with tremendous talent.
No, Will's not great. He's another system guy. Listen, this is what they thought we had about C.J. Stroud until he got into the league and everybody went, oh, crap.
Right.
I say this all the time. Go back and watch the Georgia game. What you see with C.J. Stroud now in the NFL is the same thing he did in that Georgia game. He picked them apart. They lost the game. But you saw what kind of quarterback he might turn into in the NFL. Will looks like another average Ohio State quarterback surrounded by 5 stars.
Now, Notre Dame will probably find a way to weasel into this thing. Riley Leonard, they don't even let him throw the ball. They're running the football, Carl, at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, they're basically sort of one-dimensional at times. He's only got 9 touchdowns in the air, by the way, does Riley Leonard.
Well, he looked better at Duke, if you ask me, than he has at Ohio or Notre Dame, that is, even though they're one of the top-ranked teams. And Mike always says this. Look, if Notre Dame with one loss, they're getting in, right? One loss,
yeah,
they're getting in.
They got more juice than Mother Goose, fair or unfair.
Yeah, they're going to get in. All right. But that's part of this discussion today. And, you know, it's always about moving forward. It's not about where you've been. If you're not moving forward and you're thinking about this right now, and trust me, Kirby and his staff are thinking about it right now, what do we have in the building in this landscape of college football now that we're in this? Okay, yeah, you can lose a couple of games, but, man, you still got to have a dude back there. And Orin, I'm going to disagree, and I know you're saying you don't need a superstar. I feel like you need a difference maker. He doesn't have to be an NFL quality quarterback. He's just got to be a difference maker at the college level.
And now, you know what? Let me quantify it from superstar. I'll walk it back. You need to have a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback, and Carson Beck isn't one. How about that? Fair?
Fair. 404-726-0929. All right. You guys can chime in and let us know what you think. But this is part of the discussion. The Tennessee game, we'll talk to Barbara Dooley. We'll give you our breakdowns throughout the course of the week. I'm sure she's nervous. I think you should be after last week. And if you think Tennessee's defense is as good as advertised, Mike, this might be an issue. This might be a problem. Are they as good as Ole Miss up front? Not sure, but they might be close. And that may cause another issue for Georgia this week. And that means, again, Bobo's going to have to be imaginative, right? He's going to have some imagination when it comes to how you maybe get Carson out of the pocket, what you're doing. I get it. Last week, Mike, it was all predicated on these quick hits, you know, get the ball out of his hands. But then again, when you needed to challenge them downfield, they knew you weren't going to throw it downfield, and that's why they got 5 sacks.
Right, and that gets us back to, you know, what Danny Cannell, and you brought this up yesterday, was saying. I mean, you know, if Carson Beck was recruited to be the guy that's going to sling it, then you can't walk that away. I mean, he's just got to trust him. But they obviously don't trust him after all these interceptions he's thrown, especially in the losses and the slow starts and sluggish efforts overall. And then when he does deliver the football, it's basically the catch 22. The receivers aren't helping him out. His receivers are not making the plays, basic plays in some cases, making catches.
Yeah. I know Jason Longshore is on the way. Daily Downloads brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live well. As we are talking about UGA, and it's the focus right now because of the rankings and what's going to happen, I still think they get in. I just do. I mean, unless you lose to Tennessee this weekend, and again, I'm still having a hard time believing, just like coming off of the Alabama loss, that you're going to lay an egg and have a down game. I believe in Kirby and how he corrects things, Mike, and getting them ready. I think they'll respond, but it's still going to come down to mistakes, man. And this is what we're talking about. This is why we're discussing this quarterback situation. And by the way, Tennessee fans, ask him about Nico. They love Io Maliava. Love him. And if he's playing up to his game, Mike, he can show you he's a difference
now,
maker.
Now, he went through some growing pains this year. He came out like a house of fire in that week one game up in Charlotte, remember, against NC State?
Yep.
And then he kind of went backwards and he really struggled. And they had to be sort of conservative and sort of took the ball out of his hands. And then he slowly got his confidence back. So I think Georgia can certainly present some looks at to get him off the spot and make some mistakes, create turnovers. But as we've been saying all season, the difference with Tennessee is this is the first Josh Heupel team that's physical and plays really good defense. It's not like a finesse team on defense.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hey, I do want to mention, I know many of you are not paying attention to college basketball, but it is a big couple of games down at State Farm Arena tonight, and it's kind of cool, to be honest with you. If you're not aware, four powerhouses, yep, to be quite honest, are playing down at State Farm Arena tonight. Michigan State, Kansas is an early game. It's going to be on ESPN, 6:30, and then the late game is Duke, Kentucky. Coach Pope coming into town, and I got my Kentucky stuff on because I'm cheering those guys on. I don't know what the team's going to look like.
Superstars in the building tonight.
Big time. Well, Duke may check that. Duke has the best player in the country, Mike, and he probably is going to be the number one overall player taken in the NBA draft next spring. He is a dude. But this is going to be a fun night as far as the games being here in Atlanta. Do want to mention that. All right, we're coming back. Jason Longshore, analyst for Atlanta United, is going to join us. We'll talk about this run and what it means and how far they can go. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I always worry we get fan mail, Carl, and my first thing is to shake and see if there's any anthrax in it. Is that wrong?
Well, I was downstairs, and they said, hey, can you take this up? I said, yeah, this big envelope, who's this for? Oh, it's for Bell. All right. Yeah. Not in here while I'm in here.
I can open it while we're on the air, or I can go to a safe space with some concrete and a bulkhead over here.
Yeah.
Please get the possible anthrax envelope away from all of us.
Do not open that in here. By the way, I know Jason Longshore is joining us. I have to tell you about what just happened in the elevator with me going downstairs.
I'm going to open it. What could possibly go wrong?
No, don't you dare. I will tell you after we get done with Jason. It was the craziest thing. I think it was an insult. I'm not sure. But
oh. Are you serious?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe she was. I don't know. I'll tell you about it. All right. Jason Longshore, analyst for Atlanta United. Unpredictable, man. Unforeseen. I mean, I'm trying to think of all the adjectives, right, that have been used over the last few days. What do you think about when you witnessed what you guys saw down there and the upset? The biggest upset in MLS history, I think it is. And Jason, you can put that in perspective for our audience. But Atlanta United beating Inter Miami, what's the word that comes to your mind?
I don't think there is one. I mean, it's just been honestly the craziest ride of this club's history. What they've done, going all the way back to Decision Day. I mean, I feel like we've talked about it a lot this season. When you look at what hasn't been there for Atlanta United in 2024 up until this run, they weren't scoring goals. They were creating the chances and they weren't finding the back of the net. And when you go back and you look at what they've done even before Decision Day, the last time they had a match where they did not score was the home loss to Nashville. They're scoring, and it's from a variety of different people. It's in a variety of different ways. But they're finding the back of the net, and you've tightened up defensively. And, you know, if you want to get down to the really simplistic nature of breaking down what has evolved for this group, they're scoring more goals and they're giving up less. And that right. has made the difference in this group. You know, there's reasons for both, but they're actually getting the goals, the expected goals. This is one of the crazier things about this matchup.
And by the way, Jason, for guys who don't follow soccer, explain what that factoid, what's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, and it's, when you look at Miami and you look at Atlanta and you compare it, expected goals is something that it's not exact, but basically it puts a percentage value on where a shot is taken from as to how likely it is to end up in the back of the net. Again, it's not perfect. It doesn't take into account if the player is on their off foot. It doesn't take into account how much pressure they're under, all those sorts of things. But when you look at expected goals for the entire season, Atlanta accumulated more expected goals than Miami did. The difference was Miami had guys who were putting the ball in the back of the net way above where their expected goal number was, and Atlanta was not meeting their expected goal, almost the same both ways in terms of plus 20, minus 20. It's crazy that you get them into a matchup here, and when you look at the course of the action over three games, Atlanta was the better team, and they were the better team in terms of creating chances. They were the better team in terms of defending. They were the better team in the run of play in three games against a team that set the all-time points record in this league. The biggest difference, Mike, and you know we talk about this right. in other sports too, the biggest difference about this Miami team compared to many other great teams in any league's history, what can the best teams usually do well? They can defend. They are tough to break down. They're tough to beat. This Miami team was not that. What they would do is just go and terrify you with their offense. But if you could handle their offense, their defense was weak, and Atlanta exploited it in three games.
Huh. It is Jason Longshore joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We're talking about Atlanta United, who moves on in the MLS playoffs. Jason, when did this team take a turn, in your opinion? Like, you always want to be playing your best at the end of the season, and obviously we're playing really well right now. But it's still about matchups, right? These fights are about you know, how you match up with teams, and you're telling us that we matched up actually with Miami really well, and that also helped. But talk about the makeup of the team, and where do you think it took the turn where things started to look like this was even a possibility?
I don't know if there's one moment where it felt different, but maybe that moment is when Lionel Messi checked into the game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium back in mid-September. Team was coming off of a bad loss at home to Nashville, an inexplicably bad loss that looked like it was going to doom the entire potential for getting into the postseason. The game up to that point against Miami at home wasn't great. And the buzz in the building when Messi starts to warm up and checks in, and that stuff you expect. But then that buzz turned to Atlanta support really quickly because they outplayed Miami in the rest of that game. It ends up a 2-2 draw. That was where it started to feel like, wait a minute, this team's got some life to it. The two results on the road, the Red Bulls game, the Philadelphia game, of course, at that stage, you needed 3 points to get into the playoffs more comfortably than you did. But those are really good results in hindsight. Philadelphia, that's been one of the toughest places to get a point across the league over the past few years. The Red Bulls, we know how difficult it is to get points in that building. And you found ways to do it. And it felt like this team had a little something different about them than we had seen up to that point.
Jason Longshore is with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline as United shocks the world, seriously, with the win over the Inter-Miami squad. All right, we've talked about it a few dozen times. I'll ask you again. We heard Garth Lagerwey on our airwaves today. I get it. There's some bigger-name dudes. But this guy's he's weaving magic. Rob Valentino's 38. They seem to respond to him, all the things you just talked about. I mean, wouldn't that be, if nothing else, like, and by the way, he gets the job. Let's get out there and win one for the skipper. What's the holdup on this? Why? What is the argument against giving the interim the full-time manager job?
It's not an easy argument for me to make against it because I think Rob has done more than you could have ever asked for. I mean, when you look at what he has to work with right now, you know, they don't have that starting top striker that this team wants and this team had before they had to sell Yorgos Giakoumakis because he wanted to go. They have a different kind of number 10 that Rob and his staff have had to incorporate in Alexei Maranchuk. And I think we're seeing how good he is, but he's so different than what Thiago Almada was. So you can't just plug and play. You have to figure it out. He's had to deal with all the other stuff that you always have to deal with injuries, national team call-ups, guys in good form, guys struggling for form. He's managed all of it, and he's brought this group together. And as many of the players have said, he has consistently made them believe that they can get through this. I think he is a great motivator. I think he's a great man manager. I would love to see what he can do with a full strength roster that this team would intend to build in the offseason. I'd love to see what he can do with that. I think tactically he's had to adjust. You know, this has been a team that historically has wanted more of the ball and been a heavy possession team. They've had to learn on the fly, which is not easy to do, to get comfortable without the ball, but not be a purely defensive team either. Like we said, this team's scoring goals right now, right? So they found that balance of giving up possession, being secure defensively, being comfortable without the ball. But then when they get their opportunities to attack, they're doing it in a variety of ways, creative ways, and they're converting. So to do all of those different things in this short period of time, knock out Miami, go to Montreal, get the result, go to Orlando, get the result. He's absolutely put himself into that conversation, and he deserves all the consideration possible for it. I would love to see it, because I think what he's done over this run of games, he's earned it. He's earned that opportunity.
Tell us about what's next and how do we match up? Where are they? I'm talking about our opponent in the semis, and certainly, you know, what chances do you feel like we have going into this? Obviously you come off of a win like this, right? Everybody says, oh, sky's the limit. Okay, do we lose the momentum here? Or is it just simply, hey, we're still playing at a high level and we can go into this match feeling really good about ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, talking about the things that we've went into about what this team has done differently, they're secure defensively. Okay, you need that in a knockout game on the road. They've been, you know, you can call it opportunistic. You can call it efficient in the attack. They've been scoring goals, 3 last time out, 2 the time before that. You know, 6 goals against Miami in 3 games. They're finding the back of the net consistently. They found the back of the net consistently against Orlando this season. So this is, you know, a team right now that you do have to find a way to deal with the international break, guys going away to national teams, come back in, get that vibe back where it's been, get that mentality back where it's been. But you're not going to do anything dramatically different tactically than you did against Orlando about a month ago, 3 weeks ago. You know, you're going to play that way against them. So you don't have to do a whole lot there. You want guys to be fully rested when they get back in, and you want to get them down to Orlando with the belief that just like you did 3 weeks ago, you can beat this team in their own house. And when you look historically at Atlanta in Orlando, it's a really good record for Atlanta United in that building.
All right, man. It's been a Cinderella type run. The only way it gets better is I think if Valentino gets the gig. We'll wait and see on that. By the way, just a follow up, we're going to talk about Tua's crazy head first tackle coming up in an NFL blitz at 3:00. But Jason, who would the suspects be for a head coaching search? By the way, if they're not going to go with Valentino.
It's a good question. I mean, we've heard Patrick Vieira's name thrown around, French legend in the midfield, Arsenal legend in the midfield, managed New York City in the past, managed Crystal Palace. That's been reported that he has been a candidate. We know Jim Curtin's name came up. That's been reported. He's out of a job now in Philadelphia. I don't know. And that's what's so interesting about it. And you guys are used to this from the Falcon side of things as well. There aren't going to be a whole lot of leaks out of either of those offices in terms of who you're talking to and what might pop up. You're going to find out when you're going to find out. It's been fascinating that there really hasn't been much conversation around it outside of those 2 little bits of reporting about Vieira and about Curtin turning down an opportunity to interview when he was still employed by the Philadelphia Union. So I'm very intrigued to see where this goes. And my hunch would be that whatever the conversation was going into decision day, coming out of that international break, it's got to be different now, right?
Mm-hmm. Jason, great stuff. Can't wait to see how this plays out. Don't know where it goes, but it's a fun ride. And as I said, unexpected. And I'm fine with that because we're all about chips. You know that on this show. It's all about winning, and hopefully we can win another one. Jason Longshore, you'll hear him along with Mike Conte with the call, guys, as Atlanta United continues this journey. Thanks so much, Jason.
Thanks, y'all.
It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. NFL Blitz is on the way. So I went downstairs. I brought your mail up.
Right.
Don't open it in here.
I did. I got to tell you the story later.
You have no regard for me whatsoever. If that had something in it and I'm now dead, you had no regard for me. Zero.
There's a fun story involving the package. That'll come up in Guy Talk, but what happened in the elevator?
No, I got in the elevator, and there was a lady. There's another company on our floor, and I get in the elevator, and I'm trying to go down one floor where all of our other stuff is downstairs.
Right.
And the key card doesn't necessarily work. So I end up going all the way down, and she goes, "You know, you could have just taken the stairs."
What?
You're going one floor.
Yeah, you're going to just mind your own damn business.
And I said, yeah, but I got to get back on the radio, so I'm trying to hurry up here. Are you calling me fat right now? Are you saying I should have taken the stairs because I'm fat? What are you saying to me?
She said,
was super nice, but just that comment. You could have taken the stairs. And that's how she sounded, by the way.
Yeah, I'll call management. We'll get a fireman's pole. How's that?
One floor. You could have taken the stairs. Stukes and Bill.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.